Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, beautiful humans. If a professional, polished, well-edited podcast is what you're after, then move right on.
If, however, you love unfiltered banter, unedited bloopers, authentic heart sharing, and a very generous dash of holistic health education, then you're in the right place.
Let's dive in, shall we? Welcome back to the Holistic Health Podcast. We are chatting all things nut milks. We are rating and reviewing some of the frequent flyer nut milks, mostly ones that are Australian based, though several of these are also in New Zealand, to my knowledge. But what we wanted to actually focus on in the ones that we're reviewing and rating today is ones that either are frequent flyers at cafes when you're ordering your coffee out, or ones that are very widely available in supermarkets and are shelf stable. And that's not necessarily because we think that these are the best of the best options. What we're trying to help you unpack is, of these options, what are the pros and the cons, and what might therefore be the best choice for you? Mm-hmm. And what I will say is that I very much view this in a contextual sense, and you might be different, Ames, so feel free to add your two cents in here as well. But when I'm thinking about how much does the quality of your nut milk matter, I think of a few things. I think, how often are you having it? How much are you having? Are you currently in, you know, good health and you're really just in what I call maintenance mode, or are you actively trying to treat something or intervene with something? And also, what does the rest of your diet look like? So when I, like, we'll go through them and talk about pros and cons of each, but I really think that, in my opinion, sometimes we worry too much about the shitty nut milks. And then for some people, maybe they should be a little bit more proactive about switching it. So it's a little bit nuanced, as always, but that's where I sit as being a bit of a diplomat in this situation.
You know what? First of all, I just wanted you to say nut milk a few more times. The 12-year-old in me is having a good little giggle.
But I'm second, sure there'll be more opportunities.
But I will say, I'm with you on this. I was talking to my husband about it this morning, you know, saying that we were talking about this, because he said,
Captain Cream over there.
Oh my God, this just gets worse.
Nut milk.
I can't even tell you this morning.
Still thinking about the same stuff. Okay.
We've had a very juvenile morning. I'm going to digress for just 5 seconds, but he took the dog to the beach, and we don't always let her play with the ball because she's a bit of a maniac for it. But he said, oh, she got a good balling this morning. That is terrible. Second of all, Instagram's For You page sent me this Asian hand model, and he starts every video saying, I've got a hand job today. How I'm preparing. So anyway, this is just the season for nut milk for sure. But anyway, moving on and growing up, I wanted to say I am so with you on the context. So in the cleaner conversation I was having with my husband this morning, it's like, it's different if you have like a coffee a week. Like, let's say you go out on the weekends and have a coffee or a tea with a nut milk, you know, at your cafe, versus you're having two a day, 7 days a week. Yes. So volume matters, frequency matters. And also what you said about, you know, are you living your best, healthiest life and you're not having any issues? Cool. Or are you having gut issues or systemic inflammation where you're having to be more intentional, and I guess better quality choices are going to serve you here. So it is very nuanced. Please don't cry into your latte if we have some negative things to say about the one that you like. And I'll also just say, lastly, it all, taste and texture also matters. So we're obviously talking about it from a health point of view. Are you going to say something about taste and texture of nut milk?
No, I'm just smiling because, like, of course you would comment on that, because, like, you always think about those things, and I love that so much. And when I was actually looking at one of the websites for one of the nut milks that we're going to review, I was like, I can't send this to you because you would hate
the website design. It's so busy. And I just thought of like just your how observant you are of different things. I was like, she can't open that website. I'm just going to take that one.
My nervous system will freak out looking at the ugliness. Is that what you're saying?
It's just, it's far too busy. There are too many colors. There's not enough white space for you, girl.
Okay,
it's-
thank you. Thanks for saving me from looking at it. All right, well, let's talk about the actual subject matter at hand. Now, what are you going to kick us off with?
So Milk Lab, because I feel like that is the most frequent flyer one in cafes that most people are familiar with, at least in my experience. So the first thing I'll do is just read out the ingredients list so we are all on the same page. So Australian water, great. Almonds.
That's pretty proper. Just kidding.
Almonds, 3.5%. Sugar, vegetable oil, which is a mix of canola or sunflower oil is what they say. Maltodextrin from corn, acidity regulators, which are potassium citrate, dipotassium phosphate, vegetable gums, which include gelan gum, xanthan gum, locust bean gum, sunflower lecithin, and salt. And then the other thing I'll comment on is the sugar per 100 ml, which is where I always look at it from, not from the serve. I look at it from to compare, you know, apples with apples or milks with milks. I look at it per 100 mils, and that is 1.7. So I might first just quickly comment on the nutrition panel side of it, and then you can jump in and comment on some ingredients. Mm. So from a nutrition panel perspective, I think that it ticks my box of... sorry, I haven't grown up yet. It ticks the box for me of being relatively low in sugar. So I look at things to be low in sugar if it contains less than about 5 grams of sugar per 100 mils or 100 grams, and it's at 1.7. So I'm like, that's not too bad in the grand scheme of things. I also don't think that from a calorie perspective, it's that outrageous. Like, it's still liquid calories, and all of them will be to an extent, but per 100 mil, it's like 37 calories, which really isn't very much. And then I don't think anyone's going to nut milks to get their hit their protein requirements. So I'm not even going to comment on that. It's more when you're looking at which nut milk to choose. I think the main things I take into consideration are sugar, and also that you're not just having a huge energy intake in just a liquid form. So I think from that perspective, Milk Lab has my, okay, you're not that bad, but let's circle to the ingredients.
Mm, all right, let's talk about the ingredients. Look, I think Australian water is hilarious.
Thanks for specifying Milk Lab.
Yeah, yeah, because we were unsure if you were importing it from overseas.
Or something.
I mean, I'd rather see filtered water. But anyway, moving on, I think pretty much most of them are just water unless you're going for the more health conscious brands. I do like the fact that it's 3.5% almonds. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when you compare with some of them that are, you know, even less than 1%, it's calling it almond milk is a bit of a joke. Mm-hmm. Sugar being the third ingredient could arguably be something of concern, but as you pointed out, it's 1.7 grams per 100 mils. It's really nothing to be concerned about. But then when we get down the bottom end, you know, this is where you can start to sort of see from a health perspective where some choices might be better than others. Now, as I mentioned before, taste and texture are also important. I have absolutely made a coffee at home with almond milk before, and it curdled, which is just absolutely fucking revolting. Mm. And so what barista formulated, you know, manufactured milks do really well is have a good combination of emulsifiers, you know, things that improve mouthfeel, stability and things like that. So that when you get your, you know, almond milk latte, it's delicious, it's cohesive, blah, 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 tastes good, feels good. But what that does mean is they often start adding ingredients that maybe we wouldn't necessarily be voluntarily putting in ourselves otherwise. Acidity regulators, I'm not too worried about that. These are alkaline minerals. But in terms of the vegetable gums, actually, sorry, let me just back up a little bit. Vegetable oil. Vegetable oil is the fourth ingredient. Now, again, this is giving it that fatty texture in the mouth, which contributes to mouthfeel. It also helps to uptake some of those flavors that are more lipophilic. So it adds to the flavor. But in terms of health, no one is pretending vegetable oil is good for you. We know that it oxidizes really easily and can contribute to lipid peroxidation in the body. And canola is almost certainly genetically modified. And they've said here, we use canola or sunflower, which means you're probably just, you know, you just don't really know which one you're getting or a mixture of both. So don't love that. If I had the choice over this one and something that didn't have vegetable oil in it, all things else being equal, as in low sugar and good mouthfeel and taste, I wouldn't opt for this one for that reason. And then vegetable gum wise, we will mention carrageenan later. It's not in this formula, but vegetable gums also contribute to the thickness and the viscosity of the milk, because obviously water with 3.5% amas is going to be pretty watery. So in this case, they've used gel and xanthan and locust bean gum. Now, these don't have the same kind of evidence of problems as carrageenan, which we would recommend you avoid like the plague. However, some people with gastrointestinal issues like IBS might have a problem with these. And I think, you know, we are seeing more and more coming out about gums, in particular xanthan, that maybe they don't have the greatest effect on our gastrointestinal tract either. So, you know, if you don't have gut problems, you don't have any health problems, and you're only having a few of these a week, well, you probably don't have to overthink it. But I would be just aware of that. Sunflower lecithin, I'm fine with. That's a phospholipid that also contributes to emulsification and a little bit of salt. Any other thoughts on those ingredients, Nat, that I haven't voiced?
No, I feel like you covered it. I really think in this kind of situation, like, would I be having it every single day, multiple times a day? No. Would I freak out if it was the only option at the cafe and I was having, you know, a small almond latte? Also no.
Yeah.
The only situation in which I'd be like, no, I'm just going to stay away is if I was actively trying to treat gut issues where I wasn't sure if gums and things were a current irritant, then maybe if I was struggling to get progress with symptoms. But otherwise, I think no, on paper, it's not the best choice, but also I think you'll survive if you have it every now and again.
Yeah, agreed.
And the other thing I'll comment on is the next one that we had listed that's also a frequent flyer at cafes, which is the alternative dairy co. It's almost identical to MILKLAB as far as like pros and cons and balance of different things. So I'd almost put them in the same category, to be completely honest with you. And also to add that, as much as we've said almond milks here, the general template of ingredients across those ranges for the other nut milks that they offer are very similar. So you can kind of put them all into the same category. Let's chat about bonsoi. I'm interested if we might have different opinions here, but anyway, so bonsoi, the ingredients of this are organic whole soybeans, a minimum of 14%, tapioca syrup, sea salt, Job's tear, which is a grain actually, and calcium carbonate. And the sugar per 100 grams or per 100 mils is 2.2 grams. So my opinion on this is actually that I reckon it's a pretty good choice in terms of the soybeans are whole soybeans. They're at quite a high percent relative to what most nut milks would have them as. It is organic, like the soybeans that they're using are organic. And even though there's a tapioca syrup in it, which is a source of sugar, when we look at the sugar content actually per 100 grams or per 100 mils, it's not what I would call high. And it is a little bit more energy dense than MILKLAB and the alternate dairy co, but not by that much. And I still think if you're not having a large volume of it, it's not too much of a problem. Mm. And I think the exception to this would be obviously if you actually have an intolerance or an allergy to soy, of course, that's not going to be a very good choice for you. Mm. But in terms of the ingredients and the nutritional profile, it's also much higher in protein than a lot of the other nut milks as well. So per 100 grams, it's about 4 grams of protein. So in a cup, you'd be getting about 10 grams of protein, which is, not too bad. So I think that might come as a surprise for some of you who may or may not be aware that I actually am pro soy in the right context. But don't at all be fooled that soy milk is it's still a processed food. But I think as far as nut milks go, it's not too bad of a choice and widely available. So now I'm going to throw it over to you and your thoughts.
I was just thinking to myself, if I was faced with the choice of bon soy or an almond milk in a cafe, like what would I go for, all things considered? And I do love the fact that this is, you know, more than 4 times the amount of protein than almond milk for not much more in the sugar area. So, you know, on paper, this is a really nice, simple formula or recipe, if you like, or ingredients list. I love the fact that bon soy is certified organic because most soybeans or soy products are actually genetically modified. So in terms of a brand, this is a brand I would definitely support. Where I would sort of attach a caveat to this as a choice is sort of 2 things. A lot of the health benefits attributed to soy are really in terms of its traditional preparation and fermentation, which reduces a lot of anti-nutrients and things, you know, like trypsin inhibitors and goitrogenic compounds, whereas this is just blended soybeans. So again, context matters. What volume are you having? How often are you having it? Is it every day or a couple of times a week? But because of that, I would say, number one, because of that goitrogenic potential, this may not be the best choice for you if you're dealing with thyroid issues or if you've got a family history of thyroid issues. The other thing is soybeans also contain trypsin inhibitors, which means as they are just blended up raw like that in soy milk, can reduce your ability to digest food in the, you know, proximal to ingestion. And that's true of a lot of grains and beans, again, if they're not sort of prepared properly. So if you have gastrointestinal problems or issues with your digestion, this may not be helpful, may contribute to making it a little bit worse and maybe not the best choice for you. So I'd probably go for a gum-free almond instead. But otherwise, I think it's quite good. Having said all of that, I really agree with you, Nat, outside of maybe those couple of exceptions.
Yeah. And I think it's good you brought up the thyroid context as well, because that's a question I often get asked around soy. And soy is a goitrogen. And what that means for anyone who's unsure is that it can inhibit the uptake of iodine into the thyroid gland. And iodine is an important ingredient to make your thyroid hormones. But goitrogens are problems when you are iodine deficient and or you actively have an underactive thyroid. So if you are not iodine deficient and you have, you know, Hashimoto's or Graves' disease or some kind of thyroid condition, but it's very much being managed and under control, your thyroid hormones are optimal and you're not symptomatic, it's not a problem to consume soy. It's in my opinion, it's more when you're not kind of optimized or stable. And again, volume matters here. Neither of us are saying that this is, you know, replace your water with bon soy. It's
sure.
No, not
quite there.
So yeah, hopefully that gives that some context. Mm. Next one we have is Cocoa Quench. Okay, so I'm going to read out the ingredients and then you can take over some commentary. Mm-hmm. So, Cocoa Quench, the one I'm looking at specifically for context is the organic coconut unsweetened. So the ingredients are filtered water.
Whee! Tick!
Coconut milk, 20%. Well played. organic brown rice and sea salt. And the sugar per 100 mils is 3.8 grams. Go for it.
Oh my God. All right. Look, if whenever I use a dairy alternative, it's this one. And I'm not saying it's the best one, but it is one of the best. And as you can tell from that very short and clean ingredients list, I hate using that word because it's so loaded for people, but it's a very simple formula. It doesn't have gums, emulsifiers, or refined carbohydrates in it. So the sugar content, although it's definitely higher than the other ones we've looked at, 3.8 grams of sugar is still less than a teaspoon. And again, volume matters. If you're having smoothies with half a liter in it, well, that's probably starting to get a little out of control. But if you're having it in your latte or your piccolo, I wouldn't be too worried. It's 20% coconut milk, which is just an absolute outstanding head and shoulders above the rest in terms of its raw material. The water's filtered, so you're not ingesting all of the other shit that gets put into commercial water supply. So yeah, I do love it. It is, again, I think a bit more calorie dense. So if you are in a season where you are tracking macros and or calories, it definitely doesn't have a profile as solid as bonsoy, but then you can make adjustments elsewhere. You know, again, you're not drinking nut milk for your protein. So maybe we don't have to lose any sleep over that. But yeah, this is definitely a favorite of mine. Like if I'm actually okay with dairy these days, dairy protein. But if I'm using something that, you know, calls for a dairy-free milk, this is definitely the one that I'll buy. And I'm also really happy to have it in a cup of tea as well.
Love it. I have nothing to add. I concur. So next one is the Australia's own organic unsweetened coconut milk. They also have an almond milk one. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's quite similar to Coco Quench. So ingredients are filtered Australian water. Love that they specify. Organic coconut cream, 7.5%. So obviously less than the other one we're just talking about. Salt, and then the stabilizers that are in there are locust bean gum, sodium alginate, and guar gum. The per 100 mil sugar content is 0.2. And also the energy in this is really next to nothing. It's like 18 calories per 100 mil, 100 grams. So I think that this one is from an ingredients perspective, I'm pretty happy with that. Like probably the ingredient list of Coco Quench is better from, you know, the percent of coconut milk in there. And obviously the gums have been skipped, but I guess the benefit of this one over Coco Quench, if you're looking at it, is that you're not adding a huge amount of liquid calories to your drink or to your smoothie. I usually use this one if I'm making a smoothie. Don't love in my coffee. I don't really like the taste of it that much. But if I'm putting it into a smoothie, and I'm a small human, so I don't actually need like that many calories in a day. So I try not to use too many really energy dense liquid forms of calories because it just adds up without making me feel very satiated. So this tends to be one that is like very accessible, like that it's organic, not that huge in terms of the ingredients list, and also not adding a huge amount of sugar or anything to the diet. And their almond milk is pretty similar to that as well, just FYI. So I'm not going to go and review that as well. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I guess just comparing it with Coco Quench, obviously without the brown rice, the carb count is a lot lower and the sugar. So that makes it
a preferred option if that's the piece that you're focusing on. It's tricky to compare it to because they use coconut cream rather than coconut milk, which of course is a more concentrated version. It's probably similar-ish, I would say, in that. But of course, if you're looking for a gum-free option, Coco Quench would be it. That being said, gums do really help with the viscosity, especially if you're heating and frothing milk or adding it to, you know, high acid beverages like a coffee. So yeah, it really depends what you're looking for, or what your goals and intentions are, but they're both obviously really good, really good.
Yeah.
And we don't mind pure harvest organic almond unsweetened either.
Yeah, I think this is quite a good choice too. And it's so Pure Harvest are also behind Coco Quench. So they're the same company, FYI. Mm-hmm. So the ingredients in the Pure Harvest organic almond unsweetened being the key here, is filtered water, organic activated almonds, love that, 7%, organic brown rice, plant calcium and sea salt, and the sugar per 100 grams is 1.4 grams. So yeah, I like that they use activated almonds. I think, again, pretty high percent of almonds relative to other nut milks. Even though there's organic brown rice in there, it's like when we actually look at the sugar and carb content per 100 grams or 100 mils, it's not that significant. And yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of this one too.
Yeah, it is really good. Great percentage of almonds. And again, using, you know, brown rice as their sweetener rather than a more refined option like maltodextrin or tapioca syrup. That being said, depending on what you're using it for, you might really not need sweetener at all, which is where Nutty Bruce comes in. So very similar ingredient profile. In fact, I don't know. Do they actually give the percentage of almonds? They do. Filtered water, activated organic almonds, 7%, organic brown rice and sea salt. So it's almost like a copy and paste in terms of the ingredients. Looking at the macros, it's also very similar, low in sugar. It's, yeah, I mean, I would say the Pure Harvest is like, it's a fraction lower. But otherwise, this is a really beautiful formula as well. So either one of those would be just an absolute winner.
Yeah, love it. And then our last one that we're going to share, I've never tried because I don't drink oat milk, but a lot of people do. And I think it's quite a popular nut milk option these days. And one of the ones that is in cafe sometimes or is also kind of readily available on the shelves is a brand called Oatly. Now, so the ingredients of this particular one, and I will say here that Oatly have a range, and the only one that this one is quite different to the others. So this one is water, oats 10% and sea salt. So a very simple ingredient list. And I would say from an ingredient perspective, if you tolerate oats and you tolerate gluten, I think ingredient wise, sure, it's pretty simple relative to the other nut milks, but not a fan of the nutrition profile that much in terms of, well, it's still, this one is relatively low in sugar, but it could be better. It's 4.1 grams per 100 mils or 100 grams, and not that high in energy intake, but very low in protein, like 1 gram per 100 mil or 100 grams. The problem that we run into is that not always is this one the one that is actually available in the cafes. Like usually they're using the Oatly ones that are more barista blends, etc. And that's where, if we look at, you know, an oat milk barista edition, the ingredients are water, oats, 10%, vegetable oil, which is rapeseed, which is like canola oil, acidity regulator, which is diabasic potassium phosphate, mineral, calcium carbonate, salt, and vitamins, which they add riboflavin, vitamin D2 and vitamin B12, and per 100 mils, the sugar in that is 3.4 grams. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit biased because I just don't love, I think there are better options in terms of a source of something to get grains from. I think I would opt for an organic oat milk, knowing how heavily sprayed oats can be. And I would only consume oat milk if I was having a small quantity of it, like a cup at a time, let's say, and if I did not have a gluten intolerance. That would be my criteria of the context in which I would consume something like that.
Yeah, oat milk's taken a lot of heat online recently with, I guess, the rise of the glucose goddess talking about the glycemic index and the impact of certain foods on blood sugar and also the combination of foods. So in terms of the Oatly that we've just talked about, being, you know, similar in profile to the others is really great, but often the ones that are more readily available are much higher in sugar and much higher on the glycemic index, which can really mess with your, yeah, with your blood sugar, insulin stability, energy. So again, quality matters. Checking, you know, asking what's available is really helpful for you to make a great decision. And then if I was to, you know, let's say that was my only option, was maybe a less than ideal version of the oat milk, making sure, like, it makes a huge difference having that alongside a meal that contains protein and fat versus drinking it on its own. So yeah, there's so many nuances to this conversation, but I'm hoping that our little chat here has been enlightening all the same.
Yes. Yeah, I hope so too. And yeah, just to not completely bash oat milk, I think there are certainly people who can consume it and are fine with it. And it's all about context. And my guidance on it would just be, if you're consuming it, make sure you're not gluten intolerant, make sure that you're getting an organic one where you can. Or if, you know, I don't think that one oat latte a week from that even is a shit one is going to make or break you. But if it's a regular part of your diet, just kind of ticking some of those boxes off. I can't comment on taste or texture because I have never had it, but I hear that it's quite creamy and delicious. So if that's your vibe, then could be something to consider. And we will do another version of, if you guys like these kinds of episodes, of rating and reviewing common products, and we can expand into some of the fancier nut milks or nut milk paste, etc., because we've obviously just touched on some of the most readily available and popular ones today. So please jump in our DMs and let us know if you've enjoyed this kind of rate review episode, and if there's any other food product or you know, group of foods or beverages that you'd love us to do a similar content episode on. We're very happy to hear what you have to say, as always. Otherwise, anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, friends, but if this was fun for you, I would love to know, because it was definitely fun for us. Yeah. Shame we won't get to say nut milk again on air, but maybe we can come up with some other fun things.
I'm sure we will find a way to incorporate other fun things into this episode, or into future episodes, I should say. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you enjoy your next nut milk beverage that you consume. And we will
think of us.
Yeah, please do. Please, when you say, what nut milks do you have? Think of us. Absolutely. And we will speak to you guys next week.
All right. See you then. Bye.